Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Do. Insperity. Inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. It's just you and me. I've got something I want to talk to you about. Partnerships are on my mind. Partnership is on my mind. And I want to tell you that when a partnership works, it's a beautiful thing. When it doesn't, it defines ugly. Once upon a time, when during a conversation with a mentor of mine about partnerships, he made this declaration to my surprise. He said, partners are only good for two things, sex and dancing. My mentor's personal experience led him to make that indictment. My experience, since in the meantime, has led me to be more thoughtful. But I still advise everyone planning a business partnership to consider his rude but worldly comment as a handy caution to purge their plans, their partnership plans, of naivete. A business partnership should be entered into with a healthy dose of reality about the human element involved. My friend David Gage, our Brain Trust member, David Gage, brings sunlight to this reality in his book, The Partnership Charter. He writes, business people are experts in what they do, but they're not in how to be partners, end quote. Boy, howdy, is that true. If you're considering a partnership structure for your business, Gage recommends asking yourself and your potential partner three questions, which I'm going to ask. Well, I'm going to tell you what they are right now, and I'm going to have a comment, my own comments, behind each one of them. First question, why do I want a partner? Having a partner means you can share the work and the risk, but it also means you have to share the decisions and the rewards. And that's where it gets dicey, right? For a partnership to work, all parties must place a higher value on the advantages of shared work and risk than on the efficiency of making unilateral decisions and keeping all the loot. You have to place a higher value on the first than the second. Number two, are there better alternatives to taking on a partner? There may be. You got to ask that question. Just like in a marriage or any other relationship, both parties have to bring something of value to the table. For example, it could be experience or skills or contacts or capital even. The advantages of each partner to the endeavor should be identified, quantified, and valued. Then each partner must determine if other alternatives to acquiring those benefits, and there are always will be alternatives, are more or less valuable than those of a partnership. If you have a partner who basically all they're going to bring to the table is money, well, you know what? Banks have money, and they don't want to be your partner. Just an example of how you might want to think about that. Third question, is my prospective partner the best partner candidate? If, after thoughtful and analytical evaluation, you determine that you prefer the partnership option, you're going to go ahead with partners, you're going to bring a partner in, remember, that decision isn't the same as who should be your partner. When President Lincoln at Gettysburg said, all men are created equal, he wasn't talking about business partners. The person you're considering may not be suitable for your or any other partnership. Now, I've got three of my own quick partnerships questions, which are obviously followed by my thoughts. Work ethic. The first one is work ethic. Are we compatible? All small businesses have more work to be done than people to do it. Don't take a partner unless you know he or she understands and accepts this commitment and you have comparable work ethics. Vision is the next one. Is our vision compatible? your vision, your views on the development, growth, and ultimate dissolution of the business don't have to be identical. You don't have to think the same way. But they must be compatible, the vision. Where are we going? And then finally, values. This is big. This is the big one, folks. Do our values align? If you had to rank all the considerations for forming a partnership, most of the factors could be moved around in that order, depending on the circumstances. But the issue of shared values is always going to be numero uno, default, go, no, go. Absolutely no exceptions, immutable, non-negotiable. Values would have to be number one. If your values are misaligned, my friends, all the money and success in the world won't result in a successful partnership. Believe me, I've seen more than one misaligned values train wreck. It's as ugly gets. Value factors. Here's some factors to consider. But these are just a few. There are many. Devotion to ethical behavior. You need to know the ethical bearing, the North Star of the partner you're going to do business with, because it's going to affect how they treat you. It's going to affect how they treat your customers and your employees. And I'm assuming you have high ethical standards. Make sure that you know that you're a partner. And even if you think you know this person, if you haven't had ethical issues with them, ethical dealings with them, you need to find out about this. How to treat employees. How is this person feel about employees? Do they think of them as just people we can use and abuse, or do they want to treat them like human beings who want to be successful? How about customers? Do they think of a customer relationship as transactional, or do they think of it more in terms of a relationship? That's a big deal. Your values need to be aligned. Intellectual honesty and fair play, a sense of fair play. You want to know how this person feels. When things go south, when times get tough, what are the values of your partner? Are they going to be intellectually honest and have a sense of fair play, or is it going to be all about them? Here are the last two points. Don't begin your partnership without a plan in writing of how it will be dissolved. You got to have the divorce with the marriage certificate. And if you remember last week when I talked about this, when I had my comments to you, I talked about neurotics and character disorder. Never go into a partnership with someone who has character disorder, because every problem will be your fault. Finally, do the same due diligence in acquiring a partner as you would with acquiring a business. It's almost 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.